Proverbs chapter 31.
The words of King Lemuel, the strong advice his mother gave him. O son of mine, what can you be thinking of? Child whom I bore, the son I dedicated to God. Don't dissipate your virility on fortune-hunting women, promiscuous women who shipwreck leaders. Leaders can't afford to make fools of themselves, gulping wine and swilling beer, lest hungover they don't know right from wrong, and the people who depend on them are hurt. Use wine and beer only as sedatives to kill the pain and dull the ache of the terminally ill for whom life is a living death. Speak up for people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and destitute. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family and organising her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then, with the money, she puts aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She skills in the crafts of her home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to the poor to help. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colourful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you have outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves, festoon her life with praises.
So here we are then at Proverbs 31. And as I say, Sian's been up since 3 o'clock this morning. So, you know, she's read this chapter, I don't know how many times, in between doing all the things that the chapter speaks about. So if I'm in a bit of a daze this morning, that's the reason. But again, as we kind of start this chapter, we have a new name, King Lemuel, and again, the name means belonging to God, and the commentators are, I guess, equally confused as to whether this is a separate king, or whether, again, this is Solomon playing with his wisdom. And in one sense, almost having a little fun with us, just by the titles. But just to look at a few verses here. It says to speak out for the people who have no voice, for the rights of the down and out. Speak up for justice and stand up for the poor and destitute. Now, there's some great Christian charities in the UK and throughout the world, and there's a number that work with Christians in persecuted lands. And one of them is set up many years ago by a good friend of mine, actually, and it's Christian Solidarity Worldwide. And they actually had this verse as their strapline, a voice for the voiceless, for those of our brothers and sisters who are in prison and voiceless. And so they set up this Christian charity. And there are other Christian charities like Open Doors, which has been going even longer, and Release, and many others. And they are a voice for the voiceless, for those Christians who are imprisoned for their faith throughout the world. But in this last chapter, again, Solomon tells us that we need to speak out for people who have no voice, for the rights of the down and outs, speak out for justice and stand up for the poor and destitute. And I guess it's a question that we need to ask. Who are the voiceless in our community? Who are the voiceless in the UK? I guess we can understand it when we talk about the persecuted church locked away in lands where they're imprisoned and nobody is listening to them. But who are the voiceless on our doorstep? Who are the voiceless in the streets of Aldershot? And some people have suggested that children are the most vulnerable and voiceless in our society. And they said, how can we address the issue of child abuse and let their voices be heard? Should a child leave home being a victim of extreme violence? And so people say that children are voiceless. Some people might go to the other age and say the elderly are voiceless, that nobody listens to the voice of the elderly anymore. Some might say that those who are mentally and physically disabled don't have a voice. And we need to seek God for the people in Aldershot who are voiceless, and be they a voice as God shows his love to them through us. Many would say, and have been saying for many, many years, is that the baby in the womb is voiceless, and laws and rules have been passed by governments that override biblical truth. And so the baby within the womb is voiceless, and nobody listens to the cry of the baby. And so we need, as a church, to be praying before God. God, give us the wisdom to know who are the voiceless in Aldershot, and how do we communicate your love to them, and how, as Solomon tells us, how do we speak up for them? How do we stand up for them? It's not so much just taking on social issues of reform, but as I said in the previous chapters, all great reforms have been come through people who have stood on the word of God and have seen the love of God and the injustice in society and have spoken up for the voiceless. And the gospel message is certainly not a social message, but it must have a social impact, because when we live according to the principles of the Bible, it impacts society, because the voiceless are given a voice. And so we need to speak up, and we need to stand up for the voiceless. And so then we come to this part of Proverbs that Derek's been waiting for. It's got the title, A Hymn to a Good Wife. And it asks in verse 10, a good woman is hard to find. So I thought, well, they must all be in the Ealing Church in Aldershot, because there's plenty there. Because, you know. But in saying that, to make a serious point here, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And sadly, it says this in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And so we've been looking at Proverbs over the last several weeks, at the wisdom of Solomon. But it goes to show that someone with so much wisdom can still make silly choices. And it shows the importance of walking close to God daily. We can't rely on yesterday's blessing or how close we were to God yesterday to get us through today. We have to remain close to God on a daily basis. Solomon's wives led him astray. And it shows the importance for those who have of a husband or a wife, the importance of walking with God together and to help each other walk close to God. For those who do not have a husband or a wife, then it becomes the responsibility of the church as we look after one another and have that input into one another, that we encourage one another on our walk, on their walk with God, that we're all coming closer to God and not being led astray by anyone else. Just a few things about this hymn to the wife. And again, it applies to all of us. But what caught my attention is she's quick to assist anyone in need and reaches out to help the poor. And again, that's the hallmark of the true Christian, quick to assist people who are in need and reaches out to help the poor. But then this caught my attention. She always faces tomorrow with a smile. Now, that sums Sean up. You know, the first millisecond that those blue eyes open, that somehow, as the eyes open, it draws a great big smile across the face. And she says to me, "Rob, I am so glad to be alive. I'm so glad that I'm married to you. How can I serve you today? I'm on the starting blocks. What can I do for you today?" Waking up with a smile. And now I'm coming back to reality and coming out of my dream. Always waking up with a smile. And then when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. Hallelujah. Not only waking up with a smile, but when the words come from her mouth, it is so uplifting, so encouraging, so strengthening. It's just incredible. But again, it's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? How do we wake up? It's probably good that you're muted at the moment and you can't reply to that. Some people wake up and they're just raring to go and they're happy, and other people are a little grumpy, and I'm not turning round at the moment. We're all different. And when it says always waking up, always facing tomorrow with a smile, that's not being glib. We can face each day with a smile because God is on our side and we are on God's side. And we're living in very difficult times, and what we've been going through been absolutely horrendous. And so the smile is the warmth of the heart that shows that our foundation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this, the book of Proverbs, and particularly chapter 31, for me is not just poetic, but it's prophetic as well. And maybe there's a picture here in Proverbs 31 as to how the bride of Christ should be, how the church should be. The church should be waking up with a smile. When the church speaks, it has to say something that's worthwhile. And that applies to every day of our lives, but particularly in this crisis that we're going through, or for the church to be speaking out with something that is worthwhile to say, that speaks into the situation and brings hope to our nation and hope to us as individuals. Proverbs 27 verse 19 says, "The face mirrors the heart." And there is a song that we used to sing, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone." When the church speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. The Pharisees sent out the temple police to arrest Jesus, and the police came back with this report in John 7:45. That's when the temple police reported back to the high priests and Pharisees, who demanded, "Why didn't you bring him with you? And the police answered, "Have you heard the way he talks? We've never heard anyone speak like this man. We have never heard anyone speak with this man, like this man." And let's just pray that as we seek to walk in this wisdom that Proverbs challenges us with, that we wake up with that smile. And when we speak, we've got something worthwhile to say. And it says, she always says it kindly. She always says it kindly. God grant us the wisdom to live well and to speak out wisely for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.